The following message, Shine Like Stars, was based on Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. This message was delivered on Sunday morning, November 28, 2021, to Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church of SeaTac, Washington, by Pastor Steve Hoffmeyer of Trinity Baptist Church of Montville, New Jersey.
Well, we continue our study this morning in Philippians chapter 2. For those who are not here for the adult Bible class, we considered chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, that we are to work out our own salvation. That means to put into effect, to carry into reality that salvation which God has granted to us with an attitude of fear and trembling, fearing sin, fearing lest we fall away, fearing to do anything displeasing to God, fearing God himself. We're to do this because he is at work in us to will and to work for his good pleasure. So all glory goes to him. It is not because of our goodness, our efforts, our being better, wiser than any others, but it's all of his work. And so we're going to continue now. I want to pick up, though, in reading, going back again to verse 5, and we'll read down to verse 15. I know it's the middle of a sentence, but that's as far as we're going to get. All right, so Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although existing, it'd be a literal translation, although existing in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So then, having such a great Savior, such a great salvation, so then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may prove yourselves to be, or literally, that you may become blameless and innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. Well, one way in which our testimony is to shine in this world, one way in which we work out, we put into effect our salvation, is being different from the world, especially in this aspect dealt with in verse 14, doing all things without grumbling and disputing. Well, that's our topic this morning. Let's pray that God would help us to listen to this sermon without grumbling and disputing, and to obey it without grumbling and disputing. And that God would make our testimony so bright that we would shine, and it could be translated, like stars in the cosmos. May our testimony be that bright in this dark world. Let's pray to that end. Our Father in heaven, we ask for your help because we must confess that there are so many things in this world which we find difficult, painful, hard to accept, and it is natural and very easy for us then to grumble about them, to dispute about them, and to raise a fuss about them. And so we ask for your grace, that we would work out, put into effect that salvation graciously given to us, especially in this way, that our testimony would be bright as stars in the dark cosmos. So we ask for your help. Help for me as I preach. Help for us all as we seek to obey. Help for those who are still in darkness that they might see a great light. We ask through Jesus our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we live in a world of grumbling and complaining. People complain about the weather, even though, as we say, you can't do anything about it. It doesn't help. We complain about our boss, about the food, about our lives. And what would we talk about in many cases if we didn't have something to complain about? Well, sadly, much of conversation in the world is taken up with grumbling and complaining and fault finding. The weather's too hot or too cold, or here in Seattle, too wet. When's the sun going to shine? Well, it's not going to help to talk about it. It's going to shine when God causes His sun to shine. It's nothing new in the world, because people have been complaining ever since Adam ate the forbidden fruit. There have been things to complain about. Before that, there was nothing to complain about. It's because of sin that there's much to complain about. Sin and the curse. When Jesus was alive on earth, the Jews complained about him. They complained about John the Baptist. You know, John came and he would fast, and they would say, John the Baptist. He's just an old spoil sport. And then Jesus came eating and drinking, and they said, he's a wine bibber. You know, he couldn't please them, no matter what you do. Of course, it's the same today. People are hard to please, but here's what Paul is saying in these verses: do all things without grumbling or disputing. Christians should be different. And that's our topic this morning. And so we have in these verses four things. There's a behavior prohibited to all things without grumbling and disputing. A behavior prohibited, a purpose given so that, verse 15, there's a purpose clause. But then there's a difficulty acknowledged. You'll do this in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That's our surroundings. That makes it difficult. But then there's a testimony born among whom you appear or shine as stars in the cosmos. And so there's a testimony to be born. So first of all, then, a behavior prohibited. And there are two things closely related here that we're not to do. Do all things, whatever you do, don't do this without excluding grumbling and disputing. Now, they're related, but they're different. Grumbling, the Greek word, and I don't always teach Greek from the pulpit, but you know, sometimes it's informative, it's instructive. The Greek word here is gungusmon. And that's what we call in English an onomatopoeia word. All right, English teachers, what's onomatopoeia mean? It means it sounds like what it is. All right? Gungudzo is the verb form. Gungusmon. Well, it sounds like what it is, grumbling. Okay? That's a good translation. Do all things without grumbling, grousing, complaining. It's often heard in families, it's heard in offices, it's heard in shops, it's heard in schools. It's as easy as breathing to some people. They grumble all the time. This lousy food, this place stinks, this sermon is boring, this teacher is ignorant, my five-year-old knows more than whatever. Why do I have to put up with this? Well, again, it's not new. The Israelites didn't have food. And then they got manna. And then they complained about the manna. You know, people are hard to please. And no water. We need water. Let's go back to Egypt. It was better in Egypt. What? Really? Making bricks with no straw? That was better? You know, what are you dreaming about? You can always find something to complain about. But here's the prohibition. Do all things, but don't do that. Is that clear? That's God's will for us, for you. Don't grumble. Don't grouse. Don't complain. Stop it. As they used to say down south, quit your belly aching. Cut it out. All right? Then the other word It's related, but it's different. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. It's a good translation of the Greek word. Disputing means, the word means arguing, rationalizing, reasoning. You know what? It's excuse making. It's trying to work your way out of something. It's especially, you know, parents love this verse because it's something kids do. Disputing. Do I have to? Is it my turn already? But I did it last time. Okay, I want 5 more minutes, Mom. You know. Right? You know, kids, what I'm talking about? Do I have to pick up my toys now? Oh, but I set the table yesterday. Disputing. It is a common thing also. Excuse making, trying to, you know, weasel your way out of something, finding fault. All of those activities would come under this word, disputing, arguing, rationalizing, weaseling. Right? So, two things. Don't grumble, stop the belly aching, and stop the excuse making and the trying to wriggle your way out of things. Without disputing. Now, again, there's a balance here. That does not mean that you can't observe things that need to be corrected. Right? And it doesn't mean you should not take effort to correct things that need to be corrected. That's not complaining. That's setting wrongs right. And that's a good activity. And so, Christians ought to do that. You see something wrong, you fix it. You don't grouse about it, though. It's the attitude that is condemned here. Do all things. Do the things. But don't do the complaining, the grousing, the disputing. Now, what's the scope of this prohibition? Look again at the text. It says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. So that means everything you do, get this out of that activity. And so it's the whole Christian life. It's everywhere you go. It's everything you do. It's your whole life. Literally, the verse could be translated this way. All things do without, apart from, grumbling and disputing. So in all the things you do, whatever you do, and, you know, we all have different activities in our lives. There's some work in offices, some work in shops, some work in schools, some work in stores, some work at home. Working from home is very prevalent these days. But whatever you do, I'm retired. I don't do anything. Yes, you do. You have a task. Every day you're serving God if you're a Christian. Whatever you do, do it without grumbling or dispute. Let's just think of some examples. You know, I find it helpful to flesh things out and to, think about my life and your life as well. Work. Think about the workplace. Is grumbling common at work? You know, think about the water cooler. It used to be the water cooler. I don't know, maybe it's the Coke machine or, you know, the vending machines there or the whatever at the lunch table. You gather around and you complain about the boss. The boss complains about his work. It's hard to find good help these days. You see the sign even in a store, you know, don't complain about the long line. It's hard to find help these days. Well, it's hard to find good help. It's hard to find help, period. You can complain about the job. You can complain about the pay, the hours. And so it's so common. People complain. And if that's not true of your workplace, wow, you got an amazing place to work because it's just so common. At home or about your home. Oh, man, my kids, my wife, my husband. Oh, you know, I have to do the dishes. I have to clean. I have to change diapers again. There's no end. You know, we had one kid. Got out of that. Well, now we have another kid. There's no end. Homeschooling, like, oh, it's done with it. Oh, no, I've got another kid. You know, there's no end to the complaints at home because there's no end to the work. Small house, so on and so forth. Why do we have to have such a small budget? Can't you get more money? Sound familiar? Complaining, grumbling. Grumbling at church. Grumbling about the pastors, about the guest speaker, about the sermons. Too long, it's too short. About cleaning up the fellowship lunch. Nobody else helps. Why do I always end up doing it? Why does somebody else get to preach? I never get. Why do they get to teach? I don't. Does that sound? I hope it doesn't. It's not a common refrain here. But you see, it happens at churches. We're not immune from being one of these scenes among the all things that we do where grumbling and disputing invade. It could be in your own personal walk with God. You know, reading the Bible. I read that Bible, and you're not finding new things in it? No matter how many times you've read it? You don't find God speaking to your soul? Going to the meetings? Giving up my pet sin? Why do I have to stop that? Leaving bad relationships? See, these are for our good. We're not to complain. Do all things. Forgive that person? Again, think Euodia and Syntyche here in the context of the letter to the Philippians. You mean I have to forgive them? I have to go to the same church with that person? I have to get along with them? The lowly, he says, associate. Romans 12, associate, be with the lowly. And so, yeah, it's not a big church. But even a church this size, you can have cliques. You can have people you want to avoid. Oh, I don't want to talk to him. He rubs me the wrong way. Associate. Love the brethren. That means everybody. Don't grumble about it. Be hospitable to one another. Listen to this. This is 1 Peter 4:9. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. Without complaint. And so it affects all the things we do. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. Do I have to? Why me? Without grumbling or disputing. What's wrong with grumbling and disputing? It doesn't come in the text. It just says don't do it. But you know what's wrong with it. Because ultimately grumbling is complaining against God. Because it's His providence that has orchestrated, laid out in our path, everything that we encounter day by day. Every line has been written in God's eternal plan. He works all things, Ephesians 1:11, according to the counsel, not of your will, but of His will. He works them all. And so whatever comes your way that you may be complaining about is complaining about God's providence in your life. And that's why we read about Job. And, you know, Job chapter 1, it says at the end of Job 1, when he lost his possessions and he lost his kids, and it says, in all things, these things, God, Job did not sin against God. Right? Chapter 2, when he is personally touched, his wife says to him, curse God and die, and he doesn't do it. But after chapter 2, when you read the dialogues, you find Job, even though there are flashes of light that come in Job's statement, flashes of faith, they're there. I know that my Redeemer lives. I will see Him and not a stranger. You find these flashes of strong faith, but at the same time, there's this, why me? Why this? I want to go to God. I want to talk to Him. I want to, you know, ask Him. I want to. And at the end of the book, chapter 40 in verse 2, we read that God says to Job, will the fault finder, the old King James word is caviller, one who cavils, one who finds fault. Will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Let him who reproves God answer it. Because you see, when we grumble about whatever happens in our lives, we're finding fault with God. Will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? And so when we complain, whether it's the weather, who gives the weather? You know, we say, it's raining. Right? Well, did it rain? God sent the rain. The sun is shining. Oh, yes, it is. But who sent the sun? God sends the sun. He sends the rain on the righteous and the wicked. We read in Matthew chapter 5. It's His will. When we complain, we're directing that against God. God, why did you send this rain? If you put it that way, you say, oh, who am I to say that? It's finding fault with what God has given you. Why do we have such a small house? Because that's the house God gave us. Why do I have this job? Well, God gave me that job. Why do I have these kids? Well, God gave me those kids. They're olive plants. And some of them, as I said, move away. But they're there. God's gifts. How do you deal then with God's gifts? Grumbling and disputing, or trusting Him for grace to deal with whatever it is? Now, when we think of this command, this prohibition, do all things without grumbling and disputing, what would be the opposite? What should we put in its place? You know, Paul is fond of saying, put off this, put off lying, and the opposite, speak truth. So, if we put off grumbling and disputing, what do we replace it with? Well, Paul gives us, not in this verse, not in this context, but he gives us directions elsewhere. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is another good one to memorize and use in families, and use for ourselves. In everything, give thanks. Do all things without grumbling. In everything, give thanks. So thankfulness. Well, we just had Thanksgiving. We just had our Thanksgiving prayer meeting, which it was a joy to join. In everything, give thanks. We had so much. I think those of us who were here can acknowledge again and again, people gave thanks for family, for church, for God's preservation, for God's provision, even for trials. God has given so many good things. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:23 and 24, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So go to work with this attitude. When you get to your job, all right, I'm here to serve the boss, working for the boss night and day. No, you're not. You're working for the Lord. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. And so you serve the Lord, I quoted earlier, Psalm 100, verse 2, with gladness. Not with grumbling. Serve the Lord with gladness. Whatever you do, do it heartily. Do it from your heart, from your soul. Do your work for the Lord, not for men. And again, Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. In everything, rejoice. You could translate it, maybe, or put it, paraphrase it that way. In everything, always, rejoice. Again, I say, rejoice. And so, instead of grumbling and disputing, when you find those words coming out of your mouth, which are so common, and maybe you've got an ingrained bad habit, oh man, this rotten, this wonderful rain, it's watering the earth and providing for the soil to be moist so things will grow. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you. So replace the grumbling with thanksgiving, with rejoicing. Now, why? And let's go back to Philippians chapter 2. And we had that prohibition in verse 14, but there's a reason in verse 15 that you may literally become blameless and pure or innocent children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Now, the meaning, you may be blameless and pure, not that you can make yourself spotless. You know, I'm going to cleanse myself from my own sin by doing all things without grumbling and disputing. That's how I purify myself. That's how I cleanse myself. Again, we saw that earlier. This is not a works religion. This is not saying you can be sinless if you do this. You can cleanse yourself from your sin if you do this. Rather, it's talking about having been born again, having become children of God. And how do we do that? John 1:13. We're born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And so becoming children of God is not us. It's not up to us. It's what God does. Being born again. Becoming His children. But now, as His children, show it, demonstrate it, become those children, demonstrate to the world that you're His children by living this cheerful, non-grumbling, non-disputing way of life. Doing all things with thankfulness. You see, children of God have a new nature. It's not what we do ourselves. We don't make ourselves new. Just like John 3, you must be born again. Now, I know some of you are old enough to remember this. Billy Graham actually wrote a book, How to Be Born Again. And so it's something you got to do for yourself? Wait a minute. Do they give, a little manual for infants still in the womb? I won't call them fetuses. I'll call them infants in the womb. Do they give them a little manual, how to be born, so that they can prepare themselves and make themselves be born? No. Duh. That's ridiculous. Well, we didn't born ourselves again, just like we didn't born ourselves in the first place. And so it's God's doing. So we don't make ourselves children of God. But we can demonstrate, reveal, just as it said, work out yourself. This is one way of working out your salvation. Demonstrating, performing it, putting it into action. By living, doing all things without grumbling and disputing. So that you may demonstrate to the world that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You have a new nature, a new heart. And it's not a grumbling heart, but it's a thankful heart. And so the point of the text is that grumbling and disputing demonstrate an attitude of heart which is not consistent with the state of grace. I'm not talking about one time you said, oh, the weather is, I'm tired of this rain, I want to see the sun. I'm not talking about, one time you grumbled about the food, your wife has given you burnt offerings. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about this attitude, this pervasive attitude, this place stinks, life is rotten, I'm fed up with this. And you know people like that. There was one of my acquaintances in college. His name was George Bush. He never became president, first, second, or third. But we called him Bushy Boy. And that was his thing. Everything stunk. We laughed about it. It was kind of comical. Because there was nothing he was, enjoyed or was happy about. He was, a cloud followed this guy everywhere he went. But that, you see, is not consistent with a state of grace. Is that you? Everything stinks. It's not consistent with the state of grace. Because what is consistent with the state of grace? Rejoice in the Lord always. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Serve the Lord with gladness. This is Scripture. That demonstrates the attitude, the overwhelming. I'm not talking about, one time you were in a bad mood or maybe once a week or once a day. I'm talking about the overwhelming, overarching character of your life. Are you a grumbler? Or are you a rejoicer? You see, a Christian is one who does things cheerfully, thankfully, heartily. And therefore, he demonstrates he's got a new nature. He's a new creature in Christ Jesus. So that's the reason given, that you may, this is the purpose clause, do this and show the world what the power of the gospel is. Can take a grumbler and make him a thanker. Take a disputer and make him a compliant obeyer. Do all things. Obey your God without grumbling and disputing. But then there's a difficulty acknowledged in the text, that you may prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You see, here's the difficulty. We live in this crooked and perverse world. It's a description of what's around us. The atmosphere we breathe, the stuff that we absorb from the world, from the community, from the society in which we live. And unless you live in a Christian monastery somewhere on the top of a mountain, and even there you're not immune because you bring yourself with you, this is what you face. What is it? It's crooked. Now, crooked is when it's compared with the upright standard of God's righteousness, that perfect straight rule of God's law. This is crooked. It just doesn't match up. It's, you know, you can see the deviation. It's like you go to the lumber store and you want to buy some good straight lumber. And so, you know, you maybe eyeball down it, or you maybe lay it on the floor, and you see this isn't going to work. This is going to be way out. Well, that's our lives. That's the light, that's the world. It's crooked. The world says, you know, when God says thou shalt, the world says, uh-uh. When God says thou shalt not, the world says, but that's what I want to do. And we live in a world where, for example, marital fidelity is old-fashioned, you know, where immorality is the norm, where adultery is okay. It's on almost every TV show, and not only heterosexual adultery, but homosexual. It was just so perverse. It's unthinkably wicked. But that's the acts, the speech. I mean, I remember growing up when foul language was something that you didn't do around ladies. Now the ladies have the language that's even fouler. Ladies. It's a foul world in its speech habits. And that includes grumbling and disputing. It's crooked. It's perverse. That is twisted and distorted. God had a design for His world to follow His will, which is good and perfect and happy. I would tell our kids again and again, and parents, you can borrow this. This is not patented. Sin makes you miserable. The way of the transgressor is hard, kids. And if you want to have a happy life and a happy family and a happy home, obey God and obey your parents. It's for your good. But the world is perverse, and the world doesn't follow God's way, which is for our good. The world was made to glorify God. You were made to glorify God, but the world says, no, I'm going to glorify me. The world was made to do God's will. And the world says, no, I'm going to do my will. And look at the mess we're in. And so everybody's, you know, out to get their own way, out to prove how good they are. I'm going to get what I want. Man or what? And this is, again, not new. Since the fall, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, lovers of self, rather than lovers of God and His good. Men are men. The best of men is a man at best. And the men in the world are sinners. And we are by nature that as well. And it's only grace that makes us any different. And so, here's the difficulty that comes with that. You know, when I was a teenager, it was kind of popular back then at least in the New Orleans, this wasn't so much the case up north, but to wear white pants, you know, white, it was, you know, sort of jeanish material, but white. And I would put on my white pants and I wouldn't go 5 minutes. And I would have some spot on them somewhere. And so I kind of gave up on the idea. It just wasn't me. Because I was a spot magnet. You know, a stain magnet. It was just, no matter where you go. Well, that's the world we live in. It's like trying to walk through a mud puddle in your white pants. And it's hard to keep unspotted from the world. And that's the religion of the New Testament. To keep oneself unspotted from the world is true religion, James says. And so the difficulty is just this. We live among complainers and grousers and disputers, and it's so easy to pick it up. You're there at the coffee machine at the office, and they're saying, man, this is lousy coffee. And if you say, well, I like it, you're a weirdo, right? You know, this is not Seattle's best. This is Seattle's worst coffee. And if you chime in that, I thought it was pretty good. It's like, what's wrong with you, Mr. Cheerfulness? You're going to get it. And so you sort of go with the flow. Oh, yeah, it's pretty bad, isn't it? We are affected. We are infected by what goes on around us in the world. It's another illustration is like trying to walk through a field with all those little briar seeds, you know, and you try not to get them on your clothes. They're going to stick. It's the world we live in who are in a crooked and perverse generation. So we're going to swim against the tide. We're going to stand out. You're going to be weird. If you have a thankful attitude, what a blessed weirdness. What a blessed thing to be different from the world. You know, again, I said to our kids, well, you have your choice. You want to be grumbly, you want to be, you know, hateful, you want to be disputing with each other and having a squabble and a mess, or do you want to be at peace and live in love and harmony and joy? It's a no-brainer, right? But the world doesn't get it. It's the world we live in. And so, brethren, it's going to take courage. It's going to take determination. It's going to take grace. As we saw earlier, it is God who is at work in you to will and to work for His good pleasure. You need to depend on His grace. For me to live is Christ, we saw last week. And if you're going to live for Christ, this is going to be something that's going to stand out in this world. And that leads us to the next point, a testimony born. What does this look like in the world? Among whom you shine like stars in the cosmos. Among whom you appear as lights in the world, stars, luminaries. You know, luminary, there's a luminary. We think of somebody who's like a star, a movie star, that is. You know, he's a luminary. He's somebody really up there. Well, Christians, you ought to be luminaries, stars in this world, shining brightly. In what way? You will be different if you live without grumbling and disputing, but rather with thankfulness and cheerfulness and joy. You say, that's not me. Okay, George Bush, my friend from college, you know, you need to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God can do that. Am I talking to somebody here who is an habitual grumbler? Pray for grace. Are you really a Christian? You know, I would put the best construction on it. You got a weakness. But don't sit there and just say, well, I can't help it. We saw that already. God is at work in you. To will, not to grumble and complain and dispute. To will to be thankful and cheerful. And then to do it for His glory, according to His good pleasure. And what does it look like? It's shining. It shows that you trust God in your life. Because remember, what is grumbling? It's saying, God, I don't like what You gave me. God, You blew this. But when we walk through this world without grumbling and disputing, but rather with cheerfulness and thankfulness, it's saying to the world, I live under the care of my God the Almighty. His wings are over me. His arms are underneath me. Under the care of my God the Almighty. You know, is that hymn? I don't have it in my brain quite straight yet. But we can trust in the shelter of the Most High. And when we live in this way in the world, it demonstrates to them, you've got a Heavenly Father who cares for you. And you trust Him. And you can live resting. Not that you don't do anything. We saw that in the previous verses. But you can rest and do. Trusting. Do all things. Trusting in His care. And then it says again, you shine like stars in the cosmos. And ultimately, see, this gives glory to God. Now, God put all those stars up there. Remember David in the Psalms, he says, you know, what is man that you are mindful of him? When did he say that? When he looks at the stars, when he looks at the heavens, he says, what a great God. We see, when Christians live this way in the world, it's astounding. And it gives glory not to man. You're such a nice person. No, you say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. It's a great God I serve. And that's what gives me joy. Gives glory to Him. What is a Christian? A Christian is a star shining in God's firmament and giving glory to His name. And so how do you do it? By doing all things. Yes, working, not doing nothing, doing all things without grumbling or disputing. And so as we wrap up then this morning, here's the test. A test, not the only test, but a test to see if you're a genuine Christian. Because, you know, a Christian will not have as the pattern of his life. I'm not talking about one time, you know, or, you know, one even once a day or however. I'm talking about the pattern. I'm talking about your personality, your character, if you will. That's a good word, character. Is it a Christian character to be a grumbler and disputer? Our text answers the question. It's not. Well, is that my character? You see, there are many who claim to be Christians. Many say, oh yeah, I love the Lord. But this place stinks. You know, I love the Lord, but I don't go to church because I can't stand those people. My Bible says, if you love the Lord, the Father, you love the children born of Him. She's not consistent with a Christian character. And I'm saying this so you search your hearts. Am I a real Christian? Because if you're a child of God, there's a change. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. And part of that new creatureliness is rejoice in the Lord always, serve the Lord with gladness, enter His courts with thanksgiving, in everything give thanks, do all things without grumbling and disputing. But if you're a child of God, you say, oh, I'm not perfect, you know, but genuinely, I want to live and give praise to God in my everyday activities. I want to be a parent to live to praise God and not go complaining about what rotten kids I have. I want to be a kid who trusts in the Lord Jesus and glorifies Him by saying, what a great family we have. And what a good God who sent His Son to save sinners like me. It's a new creature. It's not like the world anymore. So set a guard over your mouth. You know, the next time, and maybe a husband and wife, you can help each other. The next time when that word is about to come out, man, this is so wonderful. Well, don't be fake. But think about it. Stop and think. What can I thank God for in this situation? What is there that He's working together for my good? Because that's what He promised. We know, Paul says, and I think you just had sermons in Romans 12. Did you get that far? We know, that's Romans 8, sorry. Romans 8. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We know it, but we forget it. So if we know God is going to work this circumstance, which I'm about to complain about, for my good, well, I can turn that around and thank God for it. Right? So you stop and think. Catch yourself. Set a guard over your lips. And help each other. Husband and wife. Parents, kids. You know, there was a song we had on a tape. This is going back a few years. Are you humbly grateful or are you grumbly hateful? What's your attitude? And so, you know, parents, stop and ask the question. Are you humbly grateful or are you grumbly hateful? What's your attitude? And so, correct yourself, help each other. That this would mark us that we are shining like stars in this perverse world that we live so as to give glory to God and be thankful to Him. Do we work and live with cheerful obedience and submission to God in His providence and His direction for our lives? And so, brethren, here at Emmanuel Reformed Baptist Church, excel still more. And I have to be honest, I haven't heard you grumbling and complaining a lot since I got here. Well, that's good. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Excel still more. But then, if you are not in Christ, don't start here. Okay, I'm going to clean up my language. I'm going to stop grumbling. You know, we're going to be Alcoholics Anonymous. I am a grumbler. We're not going to just use self-help techniques. Because it won't work. See, it's only grace that changes. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. You are by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We're not better than you. We were born there. But by God's grace, He took hold of us and made us new creatures that shine like stars. And so, the hope that we have can be yours if you will turn from sin, turn from your selfish... You know, sometimes you get in that mood, right, kids? You say, man, everything stinks. And well, come on, be happy. I don't want to be happy. What? Listen to yourself. You can't change yourself, but God can. That's the good news. Can take a sinful, wretched, miserable heart, self-centered, and change it 180 degrees. Flip it around. And that's the gospel. He does it if you turn from that sin, even the sin of grumbling, and trust in Jesus to forgive and to change. That's His grace. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we thank You that You can take sinners such as we are, take those who are filthy with our mouths and lips. Instead of giving You glory, we tear down Your glory as if we would take You off Your throne. We thank You, though, that You have, in Your marvelous grace, abundant grace, taken us from the world, taken us from the darkness, and made us shine like stars. Not because we're any better, but because Your grace is glorious. And so we ask that what You've done for us, You would even continue to do still more. That we would be those examples of cheerful obedience, loving submission, that give glory to You. And we plead the same for those who are outside of Christ. For those who must confess they are still grumblers and disputers. That You would take them from that, turn them from that sin, and cause them to look not to their own ability, but to look for Christ, to Christ in all that He has done, in all that He is. And so we ask for Your blessing upon Your word through Jesus our Savior. Amen.